Hey everybody, we got some exciting news. There's a brand new podcast coming from Nickelodeon that you can check out. Listen Out Loud, the Loud House podcast. That's right, Lincoln Loud and his sisters are starting their own podcast, and we're so excited to have them. So be sure to look out for Listen Out Loud, the brand new podcast from Nickelodeon.
Nickelodeon!
From Nickelodeon Animation in Burbank, California, this is the Nickelodeon Animation Podcast. Hey, welcome to the Nickelodeon Animation Podcast. I'm Hector Navarro, and we have got a great episode for you today. Our guest is the actor behind some of your favorite cartoon characters of all time. Bender from Futurama, Jake the Dog from Adventure Time, Aquaman from Batman the Brave and the Bold, the Scotsman from Samurai Jack, Schnitzel from Chowder, Rico from the Penguins of Madagascar, and so many more, all voiced and performed by the same human being, an absolute legend in the industry. We've got with us today, the John DiMaggio.
You just show up ready to blow up. It's, you got to be in the state of mind. Like, you know, I'm not going to sit around and do Pilates just to get, you know, I'm not reciting, you know, tongue twisters and stuff like that. That's not, because, you know.
That's not your style.
It's not my style. I kind of just barge into the room and I'm like, I can do it louder. You guys need me to do it louder? And then it's, you know, and then we just go from there.
When did you know you could do voices? When did you know?
When I could impersonate teachers. When I was a kid, I used to love watching comedians, and like one of my favorites was Billy Crystal, and it was like Billy Crystal and George Carlin and, you know, Richard Pryor and Robin Williams. Those guys were like the ones, you know, like Carlin with all his voices and the way he would paint a picture of the characters, you know.
Yeah. You know, all those New York guys that you used to do in the bits, you know, like, you know, and, you know,
you know, Carlin, you bastard, I'll get you. You know, all that stuff.
Yeah.
That's where it clicked. But I used to impersonate as a kid the Cosell Ali thing that Crystal used to do, like Howard Cosell here, ABC Sports tonight. Yeah. Ali Muhammad taking on Joe Frazier.
Yeah,
what do you have to say, Muhammad, about this fight that is coming up?
Everybody talking about Joe Frazier. Everybody talking about Joe Frazier. I'm gonna knock him out.
Like, and I was this kid running around doing that.
Yeah,
and I just gravitated towards it. I saw my sister was in a play in high school, and it was The Sound of Music, and I was blown away because there was kids playing like all the Von Trapp family members, and I was like, oh my, wow, I want to do that. Like, yeah. I was blown away. But then I started doing impersonations of teachers. Like, I had a teacher named Rufus Underwood in junior high school. Like, Rufus Underwood, open your textbook to page 19. As you can see, there's a chart. And on that chart, there's a dog, cat, fish, and turtle. And I swear to God, his hands were so ashy because he would, like, handle, like, hydrochloric acid. Like, yeah. He'd just get it on his hands. He'd be like, oh, that's all right. We'll
yeah, fine. You know, hydrochloric acid on
just,
his hands.
Just mitts.
Yeah.
Just mitts. But he was funny. And then I used to work with a guy. Actually, his name was Manny, at the Pathmark, at the grocery store I worked in in high school. And Manny had a speech impediment. And I mean, I'm not making fun of speech impediments, but Manny would say, you know, Manny always was drinking orange juice. He was that orange juice drinking guy. You know, remember those guys that used to like, just like, I got to have orange juice. And like, they drank too much orange juice. And it's just like, you shouldn't drink too much orange juice. Like, what are you doing? But this guy was always like, hey, John, do me a favor. Go down to the dairy aisle and get me some orange juice. And then he would get on the intercom and, you know, be like, John, pick up on local, please, John, local. And then I would call back and I'd be like, Manny, pick up on local, please, Manny, local. I would like, and people, oh, like, all the people that worked there were like, ah!
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it was
That's
ridiculous.
Great. That's great.
But like, I used to do that stuff all the time. And I mean, I used to impersonate comedians that I loved.
Yeah.
And so it just all kind of happened. But then, you know, I was in a theater program in high school, and then I went to Rutgers. I went to the Mason Gross School of the Arts. Like at the time, it was like one of the top five theater schools in the country.
Wow.
And I got in with a C+ average and on the audition. And I eventually flunked out because I'm just not a good student. then I started doing stand-up with a guy from school that I knew. And we created this comedy team called Red Johnny and the Round Guy. And we lasted about 6 years. But by the time we were done, we were like the act in New York City that no one wanted to follow. The only guy that would follow us was Chappelle, because he was just like, okay, I have to learn how to master this beast. You know, because we were just high energy and we would close the show. And it'd just be like, okay, this audience has had it. They're done. They're finished. He would come on and be like, all right. Everybody calm down.
Yeah.
You know, and just he figured out how to change the energy of an act that was just boom, you know, would end on just like the 4th of July, you know, fireworks. And so that's what, you know, that's when we were done, that's what he was doing. And then while I was here, like while I was breaking up the act, while the act was dissolving, I was trying to figure out a way to get by. And I wanted to do more acting work. So I started auditioning for acting work in New York, but I also started doing voiceover auditions, because I asked a friend of mine, Zach Orth, Google him, you know who he is, he's on Revolution and all that stuff, he's been around, but he was doing a play at Lincoln Center, and the show ended, and I'm like, dude, how do you make ends meet in between theater gigs?
How do you get
like,
by?
You know, and he was like, oh, dude, I do voiceover commercials. I was like, really? And I had been doing commercials, and I was like, man, I don't really like doing this, because, you know, you're walking down the street in New York City and somebody's just like, hey, the cheeseburger guy! This is the cheeseburger guy right here. Look at this guy. Oh, man, I love that. Yeah, cheeseburger! Hey, all right. You know, nobody wants to deal with that.
Sure.
So it's just like, you know, but who doesn't love that paycheck? So I went and talked to my manager. She got me in touch with a voiceover agent who happened to go to school with my older sister. I found this out after the fact, and then I became like Jenny's younger brother. I wasn't John DiMaggio, the client. I was like, brother. Jenny's younger brother. Yeah. Yeah, all right. I got a voiceover agent within a week and booked my first spot I auditioned for.
I love, I know that voice. It's
Thank you.
So good.
We're approaching our fifth year anniversary.
Yeah.
This is crazy.
And I know that there's so much footage, and there were talks about you guys, you know, that you guys could have done 20 sequels and all these different things. And it's like, as I was watching it, you know, you come to the realization there is so much about this facet of the entertainment industry that is so interesting, and you know, you could do so much with it, and you could absolutely, every single person that you talk to is so brilliant.
It's a Valentine. It's Valentine to my peers. Thank
absolutely.
You very much.
Absolutely.
But we're actually working on developing a series. And honestly, you know, I'm just like, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it.
Sure.
I think that it should be done.
Yeah.
But I don't know how I feel about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
I'm just worried because for one, it's just, it's very personal.
I mean, you're in it.
Yeah, and I'm in it, but it's just like it's very personal, and it's just like, I don't want it to fail. I don't want it to, you know, that fear of failure. I mean, that's really straight up, you know, that's what I'm worried about.
What has it been like to see the internet and the fandom explode and this sort of instantaneous feedback?
The people that were in the film, a lot of them have been experiencing people like coming up to them like, hey, man, I saw you and I know that voice and I just want to say like...
Because it's their face for the first time.
It's their face for the first time. And that's one of the things that I wanted to accomplish with the movie in the first place, not to, you know, expose someone's anonymity, because the anonymity of being a voice actor is awesome.
It's great.
And I can go to Ralph in the nastiest sweats and go like buy like, you know, something bad. Like, you know, like go to like the deli section and like, you know, give me half that, you know, half that honey baked ham and just walk out. And I think that's someone's bit.
Yeah.
Talking. I think Patton Oswalt, I think that came from the back of my mind. The sweatpants and the ham in the grocery store.
Yeah.
That's what you can do. But like, I was just like, I just needed to expose everybody and just be like, look, everybody's got to see. You got to get, I want people to clap for you. I want people to go, hey, they may not remember your name, but they go, I know who you are. You do that thing and I love it.
Yeah.
And it makes me happy. And to you know, to have someone exchange that with you is really wonderful.
It's
I mean, listen, the actors are fun. They're I almost slipped. Actors are needy as all hell. I don't care. I don't care. Even the most calm, even the most, you know, reserved, there's always a need for someone to go give you a slow clap, you know, just be like, woo! Yeah. You're the man, dude. I mean, like, I don't care who you are.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't matter. Like, and I just wanted to do that for my friends and my peers.
I think for fans of animation, one of the thrills of getting to see voice actors do their thing, like in person, on video, you know, to see a regular human being and then just slip right into it. Cause it's such an amazing skill. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's one thing to hear your favorite voice actors in a podcast interview, like in this format,
right?
But I'm trying to tell the listeners right now, it's another thing to be sitting next to this guy, John DiMaggio, and then he goes right into it. You know?
There's a real, I mean, that's the part of it that's the magic.
Yeah.
And then the other part is the in-between takes with this room full of people. That's where some of the best magic happens.
Yeah.
I mean, Manny's sitting in here looking at me laughing because he knows. Manny is the engineer of the session, by the way, and he works here at Nickelodeon, and he's seen everything. He knows everything. These guys keep tapes.
Yeah.
Like, they keep recordings so that when they retire, they're like, I got the greatest outtake. I'm going to sell it, you know, $9.99. It's a bargain. I'm doing my retirement fund. It's going right into the fund.
Yeah, you guys are all keeping him well paid so he doesn't do that stuff now, right?
Yeah. Right now. But when he's done, it's a wrap, dude. It's out. I want it out.
John, you've done tons of voices for Nickelodeon shows. I'm looking at a couple.
Yeah.
Sanjay and Craig.
Oh, Sanjay and Craig, Pico, Banana Cricket. Yeah. Like, I mean, we had so much fun. And it was cool because I was like, I wasn't like, you know, one of the big roles on that, but right. I was definitely playing second, third, fourth banana, coming in and just being like, you know, and DiMaggio comes in to pinch hit, and oh, and that's why I was out of, and that's a straight up double line drive out of, you know, and it was, I mean, that was it. Like, you know, and it's on Sanjay and Craig, you know, Penny's like, you know,
he talks like this. Welcome, wing lovers. I hereby declare the Frycade's new toilet wing open with our new spicy, tangy, spangy sauce.
Enjoy them once on the way in and once on the way out.
Then Pig Open Banana Cricket, I got to do Burger Stein, which was really just basically... It was all gibberish.
Oh, wow.
And so they would just go, all right, just go ahead. Go ahead, John.
Here you go.
And, you know, it's just, I love that.
You were Yum Yum on Fanboy and Chum Chum. You were Zeno, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. You were Fung and Kung Fu Panda, Legends of Awesomeness. You were Actor Toph in Avatar The Last Airbender in a great episode. I love that. Actor Toph was great. You're Rico in The Penguins, man.
I'm on, you know, it's in the wild of the day.
Rico, when he sings, we made it, when Rico sings, he sounds like Michael McDonald.
Yeah.
When he sings to his dolly. And the funny thing was like, I always had to regurgitate things.
Mm-hmm.
And the woman that directed us, Lisa Schaefer, great voiceover director. She's in the movie. I know that voice. She can't hear puke sounds, you know, like, because I can do really good puke sounds now because I had to for that. So, like, I can, oh my God. You know, like anybody, like everybody in the room is kind of going, stop it.
Yeah.
Dude, stop it. And so, like, she would just be like, okay, that's enough. We got it. Just, you know.
What's it been like to be on a relatively new hit show, The Loud House?
It's great.
Yeah.
The fact that the show is so diverse.
Yeah.
That just makes me really happy. You know, it's fun playing the neighbor. Once again,
yeah,
and DiMaggio coming in the seventh inning to pinch hit. You know, it's just like it's just another one of those banana roles that I get to play.
Yeah,
and it's you know, how loud? Hey, give me some of your lasagna. You know, just like it's just I'll do it for lasagna if you make me a pan of that. I like that the way. I get to be the cranky neighbor, and I get to interact with the kids. I've worked with that crew for a long time.
Yeah.
Like, we've done a bunch of stuff together. So it's really nice when you work with folks and you get to work with them again. It really makes you feel like, wow, I belong here. I'm in it.
Okay, we covered the cash register, the gas pumps, and stacking the jerky. Last thing you need to know is how to adjust the expiration date. There we go. Now it's good till Christmas.
Isn't that that against the law?
Did I say it was time for a Q&A? Now, you boys think you're ready to take charge?
You bet! Yes, sir!
Good. As an extra incentive, whoever's doing the best job is going to get promoted to manager. I'll be in the back. But Flip's eyes and ears are everywhere. So put on a good show, huh?
You played the Joker in Batman Under the Red Hood.
Yeah.
This is just a little tangent. I love that version of the Joker, and I love that movie so, so much. Still to this day, one of my favorite, like, direct-to-video.
Thank you.
I have so many friends that haven't seen it yet, and I'll throw it on. I'm like, we got to do this. So what was it like to do the Joker?
It was a real thrill. It was really awesome.
It was dark.
It was, and I wasn't the first choice.
Mm.
I came in, they brought me in, like, to the rescue. Because the guy they had, like, wasn't really used to doing voiceover and would get it in rehearsal and couldn't get it when they were rolling, and it became a problem.
Yeah.
So Andrea Romano, who is now
the best,
and unfortunately kind of got forced into retirement because she has a degenerative thing happen with her eye. She lost the sight in one eye, so she's like, I'm retiring. I was going to do it in 2.5 years, but I'm doing it now so I can see things. So I'm going on the road. Me and the hubs are getting in the RV and we're rolling out. I got things to look at, but she brought me in, and we were just like, okay, and we just rolled with it. And it wasn't like we went from a laugh. Like, I didn't even audition. They just brought me in, like, okay. And
really?
And I came in, and I did it. Like, you know, I started to do it, and it was like, okay, yeah, this is on. This is going to work. This is gonna be okay. You know, he's very, very, do you mind if I have a glass of water?
Oh, my God.
Thank you.
It's chilling.
You know, he's, he can just say, oh, I think I'm going to hit you with that crowbar now. You know, yeah.
If there's any doubt that John DiMaggio is an incredible actor, I feel like that piece of animation is just a great, because it just shows so much of your range, so much of, you know.
It's brutal.
Yeah.
That Joker is, like, nobody talks about how deranged and what a psychopath the Joker is. I mean, now it's kind of, they kind of approached it in the, you know, in the past two incarnations.
But you can go to those places with some of those characters.
Yeah.
You can, yeah.
And that's really, I mean, he is just deranged and ready to kill in a second, or make it last for a long time and enjoy it.
All right, and John, I'm going to have to ask you to stop.
That's creeping gross, me out. Right?
It's
creepy. And it's like, to put yourself there in the studio and do it.
Yeah.
And the laugh came naturally. The laugh from the text alone, from what we were doing, it was just like, okay, now I got to do the iconic Joker laugh. And it's like, uh-oh, what am I going to do? And it just dawned on me. It's just like, just laugh. And it was... Yeah, it's creepy. It was creepy, and it was really a treat to do. And it's like, you know, and fortunately, everybody gets a shot, really. You know, it's like Hamlet.
Yeah.
It's like Macbeth. It's, you know, it's the Joker. It's an icon, you know. I mean, it's one of those characters that, you know, people, you know, and I got, you know, listen, when Mark Hamill says, John, I loved your Joker. I'm like, that's really cool. Thanks.
Yeah.
And so, you know, so any Mark Hamill fans out there, eat it! Because I get a lot of slack, and I'm like, will you check the picture? Will you look? There's a picture somewhere with me, him and me, like, yay!
Some of these characters that are so iconic, or that they're so malleable, the flip side of that, and this is what I love about animation, the total polar opposite is Aquaman. Is your Aquaman, Batman Brave and the Bold. What a fun...
That was a blast.
I mean, let's talk about that for a second. I love that character. And I'm going to say right now, if Jason Momoa doesn't say outrageous in Justice League or his Aquaman movie, missed opportunity.
Yeah, missed
outrageous,
man. Missed opportunity.
You have to say outrageous.
Yeah, I mean, it's really, when you say outrageous, yes, you really have to say it. You know, and he doesn't have to be all bombastic about it.
No. But
it's just got to be, I mean, under his breath.
Yes.
Under his breath.
You get it, John. Yeah.
But just as a little shout out to the previous incarnation of Aquaman. And it was so much fun. I mean, you know, those guys, they really did a great job. That was such a brilliant version, mm-hmm. campy version of Batman.
So great.
You know, and Diedrich Bader was unbelievable as Batman. I came in second for Batman. It was me and him, and they were like, you know what, we're gonna go with Diedrich.
Uh-huh.
But as a consolation prize, you're going to be Aquaman.
Yeah.
And it was like, really? Oh, that's really cool, man. Yeah. And we had so much fun with it. And it was so broad, and it was so theatrical and campy. And it was wonderful. Yeah. It was just such a blast. Like, all the songs.
Oh, man.
So all the musical theater stuff came back.
Yeah.
You know, like, I did musical theater. I'm not going to lie to you. I did a couple of plays, you know, that I had to sing, and I can do that. And so to get to sing and stuff, and, I mean, the Vigilante, like, you know, Gray and Blue. Remember that jam? That was me. I did a country song, damn it, on a cartoon.
John, another one of my favorite shows. Look at me. Come on. I'm such a nerd. I love Samurai Jack so much.
Yeah,
and
that was...
Come on. The Scotsman.
The Scotsman was, dude, I mean, like...
Such a great character. I forgot it was you. I forgot it was John DiMaggio. Because to me, the Scotsman is the Scotsman. To me, I'm like, they must have got some guy from Scotland and flew him in to do this one character.
I lucked out. My half-assed Scottish accent got the job done.
Here's my question for you. Do you have a favorite insult that the Scotsman slung to the samurai?
Well, no, it was the last insult that I can't even remember it. If you had it written out.
I do.
Give it to me.
I absolutely do, because I'm a professional.
Oh, my God.
So here
good
is.
Good for you.
Here That's, we go.
My man. Oh. Ha ha! What do you think of that, Mr. Pajama-wearing, basket-faced, slipper-wielding, clay-bleep-buckle-gather-up-and-blade-maw, bleering, gummel jesse oaf looking schooner-nyaf, pookish-and, milk-drinking, soy-faced, shill-pit, mini-mouth-snivelling, worm-eyed, hot-and-black-vile, stoochy, calibrate-tatty?
I don't think I've ever smiled harder in my life,
yeah,
John.
Yeah, that's...
Oh, my God.
If you want me to say something, bring the script. That's all I got to say.
Oh, that was a
Thank
highlight
you.
Of my life, John.
Nah,
that
come
was,
on.
That was amazing.
Nah,
that was
that's,
so much
that's,
fun.
I haven't seen that in a long time.
Yeah.
So that was a re-cold reading.
That was amazing.
I reread that cold.
Yes, you did. Well, you're welcome for bringing it in. Thank you.
No, thank you. That made me very happy. It brought me back.
I loved
that
it.
That was such a fun character to do. But you know, the first episode where, speaking of Kevin Michael Richardson,
mm-hmm.
there was a character in that spoke gibberish.
Mm-hmm.
And it was him.
Like a, it was like a gator. Was
it, it was the funniest.
Sort of Cajun.
It was a
bounty hunter.
And you could hear it.
Mm-hmm.
You could hear the Cajun
mm-hmm.
in the gibberish.
In the gibberish.
It was genius.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
We love that.
What was going through your head when you heard first time Futurama was coming back, that it was coming back?
Oh, it was, I mean, listen, the thing came back to life like four times. And it was like, it was always just like, wow, I can't believe this is, you know, this is great.
Yeah.
We get to play with the, you know, and the thing is that group of people, they're very dear to me, that cast.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really fantastic that we've been able to play together this long. But what's also really nice is, I don't know if you've heard, Matt Groening's doing a new show for Netflix.
I have not heard this.
What?
I have not
They made
heard
the
this.
Announcement last week. It's called Disenchantment. And so basically we got the band back together.
Like nice.
A lot of people from Futurama are in it. And I mean, it's Tress MacNeille, Maurice LaMarche, Billy West, myself, David Herman, who is just one of the funniest people on the planet. I can't sing his praises enough.
Yeah, Michael Bolton.
That's it, Michael Bolton from Office Space. If you're trying to put a name to a face, that's immediately where you go. And then people go, oh my God, that guy's brilliant. That guy's funny as hell, you know? Mad TV alum, he's mm-hmm. badass.
Mm-hmm.
He's on Bob's Burgers. He's on everything. King of the Hill. He's been on all the big animated shows.
Yeah.
Because he's brilliant. Also, like Rich Vulture, Lucy Montgomery. Rich Vulture from The Mighty Boosh. Remember The Mighty Boosh from the BBC?
Mm-hmm.
Brilliant. He's doing it, and he's actually got one of the castmates, one of the original guys, like Mighty Boosh, to come in and do some stuff.
Cool.
The lead characters are played by Nat Faxon, Eric Andre, nice. And Abby Jacobson from Broad City. And I play her dad. So it's really exciting.
We got to talk about the beginnings of Bender. Is it safe to say Futurama was your first big sort of
definitely.
Life-changing, absolutely. Game-changing
absolutely.
Thing?
Yeah. It was the first thing I became a regular on.
Yeah.
I'd been doing like a lot of other gigs.
Mm-hmm.
And, and I've been working, but I hadn't, and people started hearing about it, but that opened doors.
And since then, John, you have been a staple of the animation world.
I've had a pretty good run.
Yeah. Well, tell us where the voice of Bender came from, because I got a question concerning that, but all right, where did the voice come from?
It's a combination. It's originally a combination of three voices. Mm-hmm. It's every drunk at the end of a bar on the east, the northeast coast.
What are you talking about? I want another drink. Everybody in this place is going to get punched in the mouth. Because I don't know about you people, but, that guy.
Okay.
Then there's Slim Pickens, Blazing Saddles,
What Brooks, in the hell in the wide, wide world of sports is it going on?
So, buddy of mine from college, Ralph Colombino, used to do this character called Charlie the Sausage Guy. He would do this thing and it would crack me up, and I would start to mimic him. And
Charlie, sausage, so load, love sausage, sausage. Fun, have fun, hold. You got all kinds of sausage. You have Italians have a hard salami. You have a capicoli. You can do all kinds of prosciutto's not really a sausage, but it's still delicious because it's a pork product. But Germans have worse.
So he would do this thing, and it would crack me up. He runs a theater for kids in New Jersey that's actually pumping out like these really great like young method actors. He's amazing. But that's anyway, great. That's where that's you throw those three in a blender and you get Bender. There's a couple little things you throw into. You add a little funk to it, put a little scoop of funk.
Mm-hmm.
The later years, that after the first season, Bender started to get, his funkometer went up.
Yeah.
But, then you put in a little Archie Bunker. Come on, will you? Oh, jeez, what are you doing? There's added stuff. But that's really the core of it.
That's the core of it. Well, my question was, why was your buddy doing this Charlie the Sausage Guy? Where did that come from?
Because we were high.
Thank you. That's all I wanted to know.
What do you think? A bunch of theater guys hanging out, goofing off, doing characters. We were like...
Okay, all right, dude, check this one out.
Charlie the Sausage Guy.
Oh, I love sausage. And we were like, yeah, dude, that was the greatest thing.
We got to talk about Jake a little bit. Jake the dog, Adventure Time. Yeah, I want to know.
Screw that guy.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk about that. No, I'm kidding. Jake is me with a hug around it. So basically, it's kind of like, if I had a blanket on, I'd just give myself a hug. Hey, how you doing? Dude, come on. Totally math, dude. It's just like, oh, bro, Lady Rainicorn is my girlfriend. She's all right.
what is so interesting to me about Adventure Time, and what I want to know is your take on the fandom, because the fandom to me of Adventure Time is so beautiful and so cool and so interesting, and it blew up.
They're dedicated,
yeah,
wonderful fans, and now fans of that show are fans of Steven Universe.
Yeah.
And that show is, Rebecca Sugar, brilliant, wrote so many of the great songs from Adventure Time.
Yeah.
And now she's, Steven Universe is her baby, and that's just,
and
I
it's
mean,
so
that's
cool
just
that...
blowing up. But it those characters and that animation lend themselves to cosplay so much.
Mm-hmm.
And, that's how these folks really... show their appreciation, when just like I was saying before, man, I'm at a convention and people show up and they're dressed as, Marceline and Marshall Lee, like a cute nerdy couple. They're just doing their thing, and I'm just like, man, that's awesome. That is awesome that you guys share in that and are committed to that.
Yeah,
you know, and that just goes to show how much people really love this stuff, and I always appreciate that. And you know,
I think that you said real quick too that I want to touch on is that, like you said, that fans of that show are now following Rebecca Sugar. That we get to a point in animation where fans know not just voice actors, the showrunners.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? They follow that, which is so cool.
Absolutely.
It's so cool for artists, and
yeah,
it's great.
You know, it's a real community. People are helping each other. You know, people are boosting each other up. You know, people are surrounding themselves with brilliant people that eventually go on to do their own thing. You know, and that's just it.
I am a big fan of your reputation as being the blackest white guy in VO.
Let me tell you something, man. These crackers, they don't know nothing.
So it's like, you voice these black characters, you voice black guys, and like what you're in is to go into some of these characters. And I feel like one of the things you do that I love is you always just go, man, just, you know, white people, man, that's your in.
That is my in. If I can start talking about how lame white people are.
And it's a white
guy.
And they really are.
Where I grew up, I was the minority where I grew up. So I saw from a different standpoint, you know, just what was happening.
Yeah.
And a lot of my peers growing up were black. So it's a different approach. It's not too many. I mean, there are a lot of white people that grew up in black neighborhoods.
Yeah.
But it's just a different thing.
You were just absorbing that and just sort of, you know.
No, and that's what I heard. And
Can I hear a little bit of the Barry? Are you still doing the Barry White to warm up? Can I be present while you do that?
Ah, this is Barry White. And Paul Quinn College cordially invites you. They cordially invite your ass. Come on down. Roll again. Ah, this is Barry White. And Paul Quinn College cordially invites you this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, May 8th, 9th, and 10th, for a beautiful weekend in Waco, Texas, with tennis tournament and s***.
I love that Barry White bit so much.
It's Barry White genius. It's one of the funniest outtakes.
Yeah.
Because of it, really what it is his perseverance at trying to get the job done. When you hear it, you have to also remember that these were the days when you couldn't edit on the fly.
Sure.
If he's doing that for an hour, you know, the editor, the engineer is going to be able to edit it all down into the thing.
You had to get in like one take.
And if you had to edit it, you had to cut the tape with a razor blade and tape it to the, you had to get it right from the front to the back.
Yeah.
And it's so funny because it's just a poorly written piece of script.
Oh, yes.
And Barry is just not having
it. He's tearing into it.
And it's just, it's unbelievable. And then when I do the impression, it's just like this pale white guy. And then, you know, Barry White, you know, the Walrus of Love, his voice is kind of, you know, coming out.
You've done so many different types of characters. We talked about the comedic ones, the ones for little kids, the dark ones. Is there something that you're still like, I would love to do something like this?
You know what? I think I've had a really good run, and I don't really want for anything. I would love to play the Joker again. I'd love to get a shot, like one shot at Batman.
Yeah.
Just to have it on the... just to notch it.
I've been to Batman.
Joker, Batman. I've been fortunate enough to play some roles and create like these things that people are blown away by, and I don't need to. But if you put a gun to my head, I'd say like to play the Joker again.
Yeah,
and get a shot at Batman one more time. See if I can get it. See, you know. But you know, that's if it doesn't happen, I'm. It's all right.
You can feel...
Hey, man, I got a pension. It's all good. Been working hard for a long time. I'm going to get some money into my life. Be like, hey, suckers, I'm done with all you crackers. This is a wrap.
I'm out.
I'm going to get my Social Security. I'm going to get my pension. And I saved up a little bit of money. I'm going to be all right. Sell everything. Go to Moodle, Hawaii. Yeah, get a hula girl. I'll still be with my wife and everything, but I get a hula girl anyway. Just do the dance on the front lawn.
Oh, you got the face palm from Manny. That's it. Yeah,
I got it. Yeah, then I stopped.
John, wow. I mean, I think we got something. It's there.
Yeah,
we got it.
This has
been a blast, man. Thank you so much for answering my totally I just fanboy fine. Out on nah, you this entire totally time. Cool. Like, you know.
Nah, are you kidding?
And follow me on Twitter at the John DiMaggio.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. That was our hilarious conversation with John DiMaggio, legend of the industry. Thank you so much, John, for coming in. It was a blast to be able to talk to you and have you essentially crack us up for an hour. So thanks again, John DiMaggio. Guys, you're not going to want to miss an episode of the podcast, so please subscribe on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from. Be sure to visit us online at nickanimationpodcast.com for more episodes and tons of cool behind-the-scenes bonus content, like a picture of me and John DiMaggio himself. Thanks to the awesome crew who puts this podcast together. This podcast is produced by Jonathan Highlander, Dana Vasquez Everhart, Tony Gutierrez, Jamie Goss, and Andrew Huebner. Original music by Useful Creatures. This week's episode edited by Jonathan Highlander and Josh Caldwell. Our social media team is Narbe Manassians, Sammy Armiger, and David Watson. Manny Grijalva is our engineer, and unfortunately he had to excuse himself because he peed his pants laughing so hard at John DiMaggio. So thanks, John. Until next time, thanks for listening to the Nickelodeon Animation Podcast, and keep watching cartoons.